reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. You can follow it on the service outline or in your own Bibles, or it should be on the screen behind me. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Through. Good morning, friends. My name's Paul. I might just pray. Let's talk to God. Holy God, we praise you as we have been, and we're so thankful that we can call on you as our Father. We ask now, Holy Father, a loving Father, that you would help us as we look at these four verses in the Bible to grapple with what they mean and what they mean for our lives. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right. Well, this week, a bunch of us did spend a bit of time getting to know some Molonglo locals, and it was a privilege to have the mission team come and do that with us, and quite a few Stromlo people head along for that as well. And one thing we asked people as we were kind of knocking on doors and introducing ourselves is just that simple question: how do you celebrate Christmas? And as the team has kind of hinted, it's been a really great way just to kind of get to know people on a normal kind of level. And of course, as we went through, we met some people who, for various reasons, don't celebrate Christmas, but many do, and they shared lots of ideas about what they do. I thought I'd share some of them. One of them was some of these really obvious. Presents was one of the big ones. It's so exciting, isn't it, to see presents lining up one by one under the Christmas tree as the day approaches. It's fun to guess what lies under the wrapping, to feel the presents. I don't know if you do that, to see if you can work out what they are. Now, I have young kids, and kind of any time of the year, but in the lead up to Christmas, they play this game called the present game. They go around the house and they find odd objects, sometimes things that I kind of don't want to lose, but they grab them anyway, and they wrap them up in towels and then they give them to each other. That's kind of cute. Another popular suggestion, though, other than presents, probably the most popular, actually, as we met people, was spending time with family. Christmas Eve dinner or Christmas Day lunch with the family. Mum and Dad and the cousins and even Uncle Bruce. I actually have an Uncle Bruce. Hands off if you've got an Uncle Bruce. It just feels like a thing, right? If you don't have an actual Uncle Bruce, there's a guy that you could say, yeah, he's my Uncle Bruce. One of the things I really noticed as well as we were door knocking is so many Canberrans get out of town. I know lots of you have plans to get away, but lots of people as we met them, they visit family across Australia, going to Melbourne and to Sydney and all over. One family, this isn't really visiting family, they even said that they just get out of Canberra for the sake of it. They just drive to Sydney at Christmas time because they want to get out of town. It just seems like a thing to do if you're a Canberran. Another suggestion was watching a Christmas movie. Home Alone might be one of them. It's a Wonderful Life. My family has gotten into the Muppet Christmas Carol the last couple of years. It's good fun. Another suggestion was just nice feelings. Nice feelings of peace and love and joy. And it goes with the fairy lights or the lightheadedness from the smoke in the sky or the champagne or just the fresh start that we get. With Christmas time and the new year coming, these feelings of contentment and joy. And these are all great suggestions. I'm hoping to celebrate Christmas like this, and I'm sure you will have many of these as well. But there's a bunch of problems that we could kind of point out with these as I've been reflecting on it. Lots you could point out. Here's a few. What if I don't have family or friends to celebrate with? What if the family that I do have is broken or painful or absent? And what if the drive out of Canberra is just getting really wearisome, sick of seeing Lake George? What if Christmas brings not so nice feelings rather than nice feelings? And above all, kind of the main thing I really want to focus on with you this morning for the next few minutes is what if there's something better than all these reasons? What if there's something better? Something more worth celebrating? Something that really matters, that really makes a difference? And the Bible actually says there is a better reason to celebrate Christmas, something really worth celebrating. The Bible says the best reason to celebrate Christmas is eternal life in Jesus. This is the idea that in Jesus Christ, God gives us life with him that lasts forever. Life that starts now and goes even beyond death. And I believe that eternal life in Jesus is true. And if that's true, it just blows all our gifts out of the water. I feel like I can't do it justice even talking about it this morning, how spectacular this gift is. There's so many reasons why. I want to unpack that a little bit with you, but hinting at a few here, it's a new family to be a part of. It's a family that won't disappoint us or anger us or weird us out. And eternal life in Jesus brings us joy, real joy that really lasts, not just the nice feeling that lasts for a few days and then is gone by New Year's Day. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to look at those four verses, those four kind of sentences that we looked at in the Bible there that Linda read out. And I want to show you from those verses what eternal life in Jesus is all about and why it makes Christmas worth celebrating. And I'm aware that this might be new to you. You might have just popped into Stromlo Church this morning for the first time, or you're new to this church thing and it's just kind of raising big questions for you, or you may be confused. That's okay. You're very welcome to be here and to keep exploring it for yourself. If you're a regular, you might just be feeling really exhausted and kind of grumpy after a big day yesterday, or the smoke is going to your head. My hope for you is that you will be refreshed by these words from the Bible and refreshed by the joy that we can have in Jesus. That's something we can celebrate, is worth celebrating. Now let's get into it though. Firstly, eternal life in Jesus. If you're following in your outline, by the way, this is the first point here. Eternal life in Jesus is a message about a real person. It's a message about a real person. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing this, I'm sorry to break it to you, but I don't think Santa Claus is real. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anybody. The big man in red, he's a nice old chap, but he's not real. And it's funny, isn't it? At Christmas time, we celebrate a fake person. And yet all the while, Christmas is actually about a real person, Jesus. And of course, some people compare Santa and Jesus. They say they're both fake, they're both myths, nice stories that we tell ourselves or our children to make ourselves feel better or to do better, to have nice values. And after all, Santa and the plastic nativity scene both sit next to each other in our shops. I saw that in Coolman Court this week. And then you have people like atheists like Richard Dawkins who question that Jesus really lived at all, which if true would make celebrating Jesus pretty stupid. It'd be on par with celebrating Santa. But I wonder if you noticed in that first verse that we read out, for those who lived at the time of Jesus, with Jesus, were around him, Jesus is real. They saw him, they heard him, they touched him. And this is the first point. Eternal life in Jesus is a message about a real person. Have a look in verse 1. Here's where we see this. He writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now John and those first witnesses, they were followers of Jesus when Jesus was alive 2,000 years ago. And he writes this not to kind of hoodwink us, but to convince us of what he saw and experienced for himself. That this eternal life, this word of life that he's sharing in these verses, is grounded in a real person, not a myth. But first, just taking a step back, have a look at the start of this verse here. Did you notice something a bit mysterious about this person? That which was from the beginning. This is a message about a real man, yes, but a real man with mysterious eternal origins. Someone who was from the beginning. So it turns out this is about the God who became a man. Now, if you haven't grasped just how huge this is, just think about what Christians celebrate at Christmas time. The creator God of the universe, who has always existed and always been there, all powerful and all knowing, became a person in real history that no serious historian in any university doubts existed. He became one of us. Now there's complicated and sweeping language in this quote I'm about to read you, but listen to how one Christian, a guy called Stephen Charnock, describes the wonder of this. He says, "What a wonder that a God upon a throne should be an infant in a cradle. The thundering creator be a weeping babe and a suffering man. The incarnation, that is God becoming a man, the incarnation astonishes men upon earth and angels in heaven." If you're not astonished by this message, you need to have another fresh look at it. It is astonishing. At Christmas, we celebrate the God who became a real person. Now, John, we know who it is. John hasn't told us who this is yet. But notice what John says. He's kind of holding back from giving the name. But he's using this language to say that this is a real person. We heard him. We saw him. We leaned in. It's really clear in the Greek. We leaned in and we looked closely at him. And our hands touched him. Kind of reminds me a little bit of a Christmas present sitting under the tree. Picture that present. It's big. It's got straight lines with handlebar shapes at the top and two big round shapes at the bottom. You can't quite see what's under the wrapping, but you can look at the shape of the present. You can hear the bell ring when it gets moved. You can even, if you're feeling naughty, go up and touch the present and feel the metal at the top and the soft rubber at the bottom. It's a real present. It's a real bike. And it's kind of like what John is saying in verse 1. He hasn't told us who this man is. He's holding back from giving us the name. He's still wrapped up in wrapping. But it's a real gift, not a myth. Someone who people saw and heard and touched. But there's more. Eternal life in Jesus is also a gift to receive. See, the message of Jesus isn't just about a real person. It's about a real gift of eternal life given to us through Jesus. And how do we know that there is life after death? How can we know? Is there really anything else beyond this life? Eternal life would be fake if Jesus wasn't real. And if he couldn't give us eternal life. And another part of the Bible says exactly this in a place called 1 Corinthians 15. It basically says if Jesus wasn't a real person, he didn't raise from the dead, then let's just go home. Let's just go and eat and drink and be merry at our Christmas party and forget about it, because this is all there is. But no, Jesus is real, and so is the gift of eternal life. Have a look at verse 2. John says, "The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us." This real man embodies eternal life, and John's proclaiming it as this gift that God gives to us, to those who come to God. It's announced. John shouts it from the rooftops because it's this amazing, real gift. Now think about this. If you could receive any gift in the world, what would be your ultimate pick? I don't know what it is for you. An Apple iWatch, maybe? I don't know. Fender Strat. A weekend without the kids at a spa resort. A Ferrari. I'm getting a bit ridiculous now. A holiday to Europe. What is it? Whatever pops into your head, none of them compare to this gift of eternal life. It is absolutely priceless. Now, I'm not sure what you think Christianity is all about as you're here this morning. Maybe you think it's this religion, and by religion I mean that this kind of system of rules and regulations that you have to keep, kind of like Santa's naughty list, to earn God's favour. Maybe you think it's about obeying the Ten Commandments or something, and then avoiding God's naughty list. Like God is this kind of Santa Claus guy up in the sky. Well, no. No. What does the Gospel of John tell us? You might know John 3:16. Here's what it says. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but receive eternal life." The Christian message, Christianity, is all about a gift, not a list of rules to achieve, not a naughty list to avoid. It's about God's astonishing love that Asher was talking about before. It's about the gift of eternal life in Jesus that we don't deserve. We don't deserve it. We all ignore and reject God. that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that our rejection of God could be forgiven. And then Jesus rose again 3 days later to give us eternal life as a gift for us to receive. And just think about Christmas presents or presents on your birthday. When someone gives you a present, how do you kind of think about that gift? Do you think about it like your wages for your job or something? You know, do you say, I earned this? Well, no, someone gives it to you because they love you. They just want you to receive it and say thanks. Friends, that is essentially what Christianity is about. That's what eternal life in Jesus is all about. God, despite us rejecting him, loves you and gives you the gift of eternal life in Jesus. That is very worth celebrating. Now, let me ask you here and now, have you received that gift? Perhaps you didn't know it was even there. Well, friend, I'm telling you now, it's on offer. Or maybe you did know it was there and you're refusing to accept it. It's better than new undies at Christmas time, or a bike, or wireless headphones, or a trip overseas, or the best gift you could think of. The gift of eternal life with God. But there's more to say. At Christmas, lots of us spend time with family, and it's a wonderful thing for many of us, but for some of us it is painful. Some of us have painful family relationships. Some of us have empty chairs at the Christmas table. But eternal life in Jesus, there's even more that's worth celebrating about this. It also brings us into God's family, and that is such a comfort. This is what John says in verse 3. He says, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal life in Jesus also brings us into God's family. Firstly, it implies that without Jesus, we're not in God's family. We're outside of his family. We're actually spiritual orphans in the world. Because even though God made us for relationship with him, we ran away from home. We rejected him. But in Jesus, the great news is God wants us back in his family, and he's done everything required to bring us back through the death of his son, Jesus. And now God can be our father, and Jesus can be our brother. And it's family. John actually uses a different word for this. You might have noticed it in the verses there, this word fellowship. I don't know how often you use the word fellowship in sentences. We don't use that word much, but it's a really powerful word. It kind of means family, but it's much richer than that as well. It means this kind of mutual partnership and joint ownership in a common cause, a kind of bond between you that can't be fully explained, that even goes beyond blood relations. Fellowship is like the closest family bond you can imagine. One example that you might have already thought of is Lord of the Rings. I've been reading through these books for the third time in the last couple of months and enjoying them. And the first book in the movie is called Fellowship of the Ring. And I mean, think about that fellowship. Here they are, that group of heroes. They're not blood relations. They're a diverse bunch of hobbits and an elf and a dwarf and a wizard and two men. But they become this family, this fellowship in a common cause on this adventure together. And this is kind of what makes Christmas really worth celebrating. No matter what our life is like, no matter what our earthly family is like, are they weird? Frustrating? Annoying? Absent? God says, come and be a part of my family. So are you part of God's family? If not, do you want to be? Personally speaking, this is such a comfort to me, and it brings meaning to my life. I know that my Creator loves me and is now my Father, and he really knows me, all my weirdness, all my faults, and he loves me anyway. And then added to that, I have this amazing common cause that I get to share with Christian brothers and sisters around me. We're on this kind of adventure together to see God's family grow, to see more people know that they have a Creator who wants to be their loving Father. That's something worth celebrating. That's something worth being a part of. Well, eternal life in Jesus is a message about a real person. It's a gift to receive. It brings us into God's family. But there's one last thing to say, and that's that it brings us lasting joy. For many of us, there's just something in the air at Christmas time. I don't want to get too sappy, but there's a feeling, right? It's not just the heat and the mozzie repellent making us lightheaded. Though there is that too. There's the nice feelings of like peace and love and joy in the air. And maybe it's because we're all just exhausted and just crashing over the line at the end of another big year. But I think it's also because the year is ending and we're getting nostalgic and we look forward to a fresh start. But then the problem with this is it doesn't last. It never lasts, that feeling. I've been alive for 34 years, and every year after Christmas, I feel low. Give it 2 or 3 days, and then we're back at work or at uni or at school, and the pressures come in, the rat race begins all over again, and life is hectic, and it can all just start to feel pretty joyless. But this is the best reason to celebrate at Christmas time. Eternal life in Jesus brings lasting joy. Not just for a few weeks, but permanent, deep, down, gutsy joy. This growing contentment and peace and happiness. The feeling that in the end, I know it's going to be okay. And this is exactly how John finishes in verse 4. He says, "We write this to make our joy complete." Can you see what John's saying here? He's saying that he's sharing this news about the gift of eternal life in Jesus, not just to do the job, not to just, you know, kind of go door knocking on people's houses because we feel like it's the thing we should do, that we're getting into God's good books. John doesn't share this message because he feels like he has to, not just to do the job, not just to be a good Christian or something. No, he's sharing this news with those original readers and with us today for the joy of it, because he feels joy. Not just fluffy joy, by the way, lasting joy, the joy that comes from knowing that I am known and loved by my Creator, loved warts and all. The joy of knowing my future is exciting and eternal and locked in and secure. See, eternal life in Jesus brings lasting joy. And so as I finish, let me ask you two questions. Firstly, let me just speak to those of you who have already received God's gift, myself included. Will you be like John and complete your joy by sharing why you celebrate Christmas with others around you? Not just because you have to, but because of the joy that you have in Jesus. I mean, what gets you excited? What gets you so excited that you can't help but tell others about it? Now, I'm challenging myself as much as you guys with this. And for me, it's things like my baby son, and he's a joy to me. I love talking about him. Or it's my AeroPress coffee machine or something. What is it for you? Really think about it. What gets you excited such that you can't help but tell others about it? Because I think you'll tell others whatever excites you, whatever brings you joy. You want to tell people. And do you feel that way about Jesus? I need to put this into practice myself, but you might need to take a step back and actually ask yourself, where is my joy at the moment? Do I have joy in Jesus? Where am I at with Jesus? Have I lost sight of him? I thought of just reading to you from John 15. This is how Jesus talks about a relationship with him and his desire for us in relationship with him. This is John 15 verses 9 to 11. It won't be on the screen, but just listen along. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Did you know that Jesus actually wants you to have joy in him? Joy, by the way, as I said, isn't just this carefree, blind, off with the fairies kind of feeling that ignores the tough stuff. No, joy in Jesus is deeper than that. It's this deep contentment, this peace that transcends, because I am known and I am loved and I am secure. It helps me to stick with Jesus and joyfully want to stick with him and even share him with others, even in my hard times. So why not use this Christmas to take a fresh look at Jesus? That might be something you need to do. If you need a couple of practical ideas, why not do a Bible reading plan, a kind of Advent Bible reading plan? I know some of you are already doing this. They're a stack online. One I saw on ESV.org, you could check out. If there's others that you're interested in, you can come and chat to me. Another idea is, why not get some good Christmas music playing in your home or on your way to work? I just find music is so helpful for me personally. It's something that is a great reminder for me and helps me lift my heart to Jesus in this time, even when I'm busy. So a couple of practical ideas, and feel free to share more, how we can just be dwelling on Jesus and the joy that he wants us to have in him this time of year. But secondly, let me just speak to those of you who maybe haven't yet received God's gift of eternal life in Jesus. Let me just ask you, how will you celebrate Christmas this year? Now, by all means, if you can, spend time with special people, enjoy the presents and the champagne and the nice feelings and all of that. But I hope this morning has pushed you at least to think, what if there really is something to this Jesus stuff? What if he is real? What if eternity is real? What if eternal life is a free gift from God and he's waiting for me to come and accept it as a gift? What if being a part of God's family is real, that I can be loved and accepted and part of this common cause that's worth celebrating? What if I can have real joy that will bring me peace, that will help me amidst the hard times? It won't take the hard times away, but it will help me get through them, knowing that I am loved and secure. You might have some tough memories this Christmas as well. It might be a hard time for you this Christmas. Why not look into Jesus and see if he can bring you joy amidst that tough time? Now, I believe Jesus is worth celebrating, totally worth celebrating at Christmas time. If you just need help to explore this further and what this even means for your life, please feel free to come and chat to me or to Fran, I'm sure would be happy to chat to you, or to Dan over here. We'd love to hear your story and just help you explore what Jesus might mean for your life a little bit more. But I might just thank God for these verses that we've explored this morning, and then we're going to stand and sing Joy to the World. So how about I talk to God? Our great God and Father, we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life in Jesus that we don't deserve, but you freely give to us if we will just come and say sorry and say thank you. And so I pray for each of us this morning, wherever we're at, that we would be looking into Jesus more at the moment, finding joy in him, finding security in him. Thank you so much for Jesus and for what you've done. We pray now as we sing Joy to the World that you will lift our hearts to the joy we have in you. Amen.